The Old Testament reading for the 10th Sunday after Pentecost is from Exodus chapter 16. The whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God." In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning, dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 4. "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The sermon for this morning is based on the gospel reading from St. John. Questions. The crowds have lots of questions. If you were paying attention, I think there's about four questions in today's gospel reading that get leveled at Jesus. And Jesus has answers. But with the answers come much more than anyone would ever dare to ask. That's how it always goes with Jesus. You know, we come with our questions. Sometimes they're curious, sometimes trivial, occasionally challenging or even doubting. And Jesus meets our questions with answers that go far beyond our small way of looking at things. 2 weeks ago, we heard in the gospel about Jesus feeding the 5,000 with just five little barley loaves and two small fish. That was a genuine crowd pleaser. I mean, you give people free food, you really bring them in. That's the way to go, right? In fact, they wanted to make Jesus a king by force. And so he withdrew to a mountain. He slipped away from their political plans to make him a king. His disciples left by boat, and they headed across the Sea of Galilee. Jesus decided to go on foot, literally walking on the water. That's why they're going to ask him in today's gospel, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Of course, Jesus walking on the water in the middle of the night scares the wits out of his disciples. They think he's a ghost. But once they hear his voice, they were more than happy to take him on board. So when they land on shore, the funny thing is that Jesus is with them in the boat, which leaves the crowd a bit puzzled because he didn't leave with them in the boat. So the first question is a logical one. "Rabbi, when did you come here? How did you get here?" Now, of course, the obvious answer is, "I walked." But that would have raised more questions than answers. So Jesus just leaves that question aside. You know, he hardly ever directly answers a question. How Jesus gets from one place to another is as irrelevant as how water is baptism or how bread and wine are the body and blood of Christ. The Lord is free to do whatever he pleases with his creation. Instead of satisfying their curiosity, Jesus pushes on the issue of faith. Where was their trust? Why were they following him? What did they want? And Jesus nails it. Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. You're looking for me to fill your bellies with food, to scratch your knees, to put a bandage on your bumps and bruises. But I have so much more to give you than bread and fish. Sure, you might be thrilled with free bread and fish for life. But I have a food that I will give you that is much more than a full belly at the end of the day. So Jesus says, do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him God the Father has set his seal. There are two kinds of food. The food you work for and the food which is given. Food that perishes and food that endures to eternal life. Now you know all about the first kind of food. Food that you work for. I mean, that's one reason you go to work. Got to have a job. Got to put bread on the table. You got to eat so you can live. That's the food you work for. The food that goes back to the fall in the garden in Genesis when God told Adam, remember, from the sweat of your brow you will eat your bread until you die. Now, that wasn't how it was in the very beginning. There was the tree of life from which one could eat and live forever. In the beginning, it was all gifts and no difficult labor. But disobedience and death changed the environment and the diet. Now it's food you work for. Work that eventually kills you. Farming uncooperative ground, fighting weeds, climate, bugs, grinding grain, kneading dough, baking bread, work, 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 sales quotas, production schedules, budget constraints, government regulations, unreliable suppliers, dishonest business partners, lawyers, cranky customers, mean bosses, lazy workers, endless piles of paperwork, you name it. Ecclesiastes calls it futility. An endless chasing after the wind. God has rigged it that way. He's made work a sweaty, frustrating business to teach us that work is not the way to life. It's simply work. We cannot work our way to heaven. We can only work our way to the grave. And plenty do. The food we work for perishes. It spoils, it rots, it gets moldy and smelly. You know what happens if you leave it in the fridge too long. Don't get to it. That's why we have refrigerators and freezers. Our food is dead and slowly decaying. We're just trying to slow the decay with freezing and preservatives. Even the manna in the wilderness was like that. If you tried to store it for the next day except on the Sabbath, it rotted and was full of worms and stank, the Bible says. The world is decaying. And all of our work to save it can only delay the decay a bit. You know, it's amusing how much influence we think we have. We're so haughty. You know, we think if we can control things, if we just do the right thing in the right way, we can stop the bad things from happening. We can stop the planet from decay. We can stop diseases from going around altogether. You can't stop what's coming. It's all the death of Adam worked out in the very creation itself. As Paul says in Romans, the whole creation was subjected to futility and decay. All that doom and gloom stuff in the headlines, whether it be terrorism, the scary germ, murder and mayhem, economic disaster, or upheavals in nature, fires, it's all part of the grand death that is the wages of sin. And there's no turning the clock back. There's no undoing the fall or its effects. Remember, God isn't into rehab, but dying and rising. We can only manage the death much like a hospice that doesn't try to cure the patient but comfort him. Our food is dead, and we die along with it. And even though the manna in the Old Testament was wonder bread from the hand of God himself, the people who ate it still died. A whole generation of Israelites dead in the wilderness. The bread Moses gave couldn't save them from death, no matter how miraculous it was, nor could the law Moses gave save them. That's our lot as sinners, no matter how good we might be. That's what Paul means when he says the wages of sin is death. We earn death with our works, all the ways we've trampled on God and on each other. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Gift, not works. Free gift. Undeserved, unmerited, placed into empty, dead, receiving hands. Do not labor for the food that perishes, says Jesus, but the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. Jesus promises a food that requires no preservatives, no refrigeration. It doesn't spoil. It endures to eternal life. And guess what? It preserves the eater to eternal life too. Imagine that. A food that doesn't spoil, and it prevents you from dying eternally. Later on in John chapter 6, Jesus is going to say, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Woo! Talk about a health food. This has vitamin supplements and nutrition shakes beaten hands down. We spend oodles of money on health foods and nutritional supplements, and here is free food from the hand of God that preserves to eternity. And yet the world, and even us, you and I here today, pay more attention to belly food than eternal food. We lavish more attention and devotion on our daily bread than on the bread of life. We're more concerned about Sunday brunch than we are about the supper of the Lord. We'll barely miss a meal, but think nothing of going weeks and weeks and in some cases years without the Lord's Supper or even hearing the word of the Lord at all. We'll skip church on a Sunday to rest from the work we put in for our bread that perishes while ignoring the true rest in Christ, and failing to receive the bread that endures to eternal life. We'll point out a good restaurant to our friends and family much more quickly and easily than pointing them to the Lord's Supper. We make sure we get our groceries and our meds, get all that, but boy, I can do without the Lord's Supper. Our taste buds are not naturally inclined to eternity. Look at the Israelites in our Old Testament reading today. They were fed by God's hand in the wilderness, and what do they want? The menu of Egypt. Leeks, garlic, meat, wine, all that good stuff, but in exchange for what? Their freedom. That was the food of their slavery. Our appetites are not geared for liberty, and we'd be willing to sacrifice most anything for a free lunch. Like the Israelites, we would rather complain about what God gives us and who he sends us, which is, in all reality, complaining against God himself, as Moses points out in today's Old Testament reading. What God gives freely is not good enough for us. The food that endures to eternity is not a food that you work for, but a food that's given you free, completely by grace from the Son of Man, from Jesus, marked in his baptism as the Son of God and source of salvation, Jesus alone, and there is no other who gives you this bread of life. But the crowds, like us, are thinking about works. What must we do to be doing the works of God? Surely we must do something. There's no such thing as a free lunch after all. What must we be doing to do the works of God? The crowd asked Jesus. Listen carefully to Jesus' answer. This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. Not works, but a singular work. And not our works, but the work of God, the singular work that God does. Faith is God's work, not ours. It's the work of God that we believe, trust in Jesus whom he has sent. St. Paul fleshes this out completely in just one sentence from Ephesians chapter 2, which I hope most of you know. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not because of works, lest any man should boast. Any works that you and I do are built on the work of God in Jesus. It's not our good life that saves us, but Jesus' perfect life, his sacrificial death, his victory over the grave, all given to us freely as a gift and received through trust that God himself works in us. Our work can't save us. Our bread can't save us. Only Jesus has a work and a bread that gives life to the world. He is the baker of a new loaf of bread, a new and mysterious manna, not as Moses gave, not as the law gives, only as the Son of God gives. Then what sign do you do, they ask. It's like they hadn't been following him around. He fed 5,000 people just a little bit ago. What sign do you do, Jesus, that we may see and believe you? Moses had bread from heaven. What do you have, Jesus? But then Jesus has them right where he wants them. And us too. At the place where he gives himself. The bread he gives is himself. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Jesus is our bread. Jesus is our drink. If you're thinking Lord's Supper at all when you hear any of this, you're on the right track. You'll hear more of that from John 6 in the next few weeks. But today it's about trust in Jesus and his work to save you. If you don't get trust in Jesus right, you won't get what the Lord's Supper is all about either. And what is the sign that he gives that we should take him at his word and trust him in everything he says? Nothing short of his death and his resurrection. That's how this bread of life is baked. In the fiery furnace of God's wrath against our sin, and in the burning heat of his passion to save his fallen creation. Like wheat ground up by the mill and put into the fire, Jesus endured the cross bearing our sin in order to be our food, the very source of our life. I am the bread of life. Jesus is your bread. He is an absolute necessity that you need to live at all. He is not like some delicacy to be indulged in once in a while or to be received infrequently to make him more special. He is bread, daily, ordinary, earthy food. Jesus is manna for sinners, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. He fills you in all the ways that sin leaves you empty and hungry. There is food that endures forever. A bread that gives life forever. A drink that quenches your thirst and soothes your parched soul. He is the bread of life for your life. And it is free. Free. Not earned, but given. Received. That food and drink is Jesus himself. Jesus in the word. Jesus in your baptism. Jesus in the bread and the cup. Eat and drink. Trust in him. And you will be filled with life forever. In the name of Jesus. Amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.